That's the opening portion of the Academic Festival Overture by Johannes Brahms in a performance by the Concertgebouw Orchestra, conducted by Ricardo Chailly. Good afternoon. This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the program. And that music will open Saturday's concert by the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra, which will be conducted by Michael Luxner, who is its music director. This Saturday is the Young Artists Concert, an annual event that results from their annual concerto competition on campus with three winners this year. It'll be at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus in Decatur at 7:30 Saturday night. And with me on the program for most of this hour is Michael Luxner himself. Thanks for coming back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Kevin.
So the Brahms, not pertinent to the young artist part, other than that I'm sure there's a way that it works into the program, but this is your annual concert in which you showcase students at the school who have auditioned for the chance to perform on this program.
We have a competition every October, which you yourself have judged on a couple of occasions. And, well, the Brahms is indirectly related to that by the fact that we allow up to four winners who earn by winning the chance to perform on this concert. And we usually have four winners, but this year there were only three, so I left a little time in the program, and I looked around and thought what would be fun to add. And I found that the Brahms Academic we had never done here.
Really?
Which is, odd, because after all, this is an academic-based orchestra. And astonishingly enough, I don't even think I've ever performed it in
Seriously?
My whole career. And, we also do here an annual all-state string seminar as a way of getting high school string players onto campus, and we always do a workshop on the annual all-state piece, which it rotates over a four-year cycle and includes the Brahms Academic. So I know it inside and out, and I can see I studied it, but I honest to gosh cannot remember having performed it. So I figured it's about time.
Well, it sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at the program and I saw just three performers, and I seem to remember, when I've judged it before, have chosen four or so, and when we've talked before, there's been four. So the judges just decided these were far and away the top, or?
We're not looking for, the best, but we're looking for really good, however many that may be. There could be one winner or no winners. The purpose of the competition is, it's not a pedagogical thing. It's not a jury. It's not there to give someone a chance who's a good kid or who improved a lot. It's not there for the experience. It is there to generate people who can perform a solo with symphony orchestra in a big hall, a professional symphony orchestra in a big hall, and carry the day. So you never know what kind of crop we're going to have, and this year the line seemed to stop at about three. But those are the instructions the judges have, and that's why the judging panel always includes at least one other conductor, and will often include someone who isn't even necessarily a music teacher, but is someone like an arts promoter or a concert sponsor or the Dean of Fine Arts was on the panel this year. Someone who really knows a top-notch performance when she sees it, as opposed to just someone who's, got good fingers or whatever.
What the I'm not surprised from past experience to see that there is a singer, because you have always have a wonderful crop of singers.
Yep.
I am surprised to see that there's no percussionist this year.
They gave us a year off, what can I say? You're correct in pointing out that disproportionately, when the percussionists enter, they do seem to win disproportionately. And so do the saxes. Those are just great studios here. And the percussion teacher really takes this seriously. I mean, they come in, memorization is not a requirement, for this competition, and that's done in deference to instrumentalists like percussionists who don't have the tradition of memorizing the way singers and pianists do, and yet their guys always memorize and always have their things down and do very, very well. But we shouldn't be talking about percussion this year.
That's
because
right.
We'll probably have two more win next year, and then we'll have to be talking about them again.
Yeah,
so we
exactly.
should talk about the people who did win this year.
Well, exactly. So you have a vocalist I mentioned, soprano Megan Durr,
mm-hmm.
and a pianist, Jared Rickstein,
mm-hmm.
and a bassoonist,
yep.
Christopher Raymond. And I actually named them in reverse order of that in which they're going to be performing on the concert. So let's start with the bassoonist, Christopher Raymond. I'm pronouncing that clearly because there's also a Chris Raymond.
But there sure is.
Who was actually a pianist on your faculty, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, actually, Chris and Jared are two of the youngest people ever to win this competition. Chris is a sophomore, and Jared is a freshman. We have three freshman piano performance majors this year, and that's great for Millikan. I think it's our average is more like one every third year, but we had three coming in this year, and Jared just won the day on this Grieg. He's a great player and a very, very bright kid, and Chris Raymond as well has been turning heads since he started here last year. He's been the regular second bassoonist of the Millikan Decatur Symphony since the day he walked in the door, as a student, and then had people turning their heads on this Weber.
And this is Carl Maria von Weber bassoon concerto. He's going to be playing.
A very sophisticated score, by the way. I really enjoyed studying it. It's the other thing I love about this concert is that it always turns up things that I've never done before, maybe didn't even know about, or never planned to program. It's just a very, very wonderful piece of music. Aside from being, great to play and great to listen to, and nicely transparent in that sort of half classic, half romantic way of Weber, but just very intricate structure to the piece and phrasing and just a really delightful work. And it's short enough that we can do the whole thing. Often on a competition like this, we have a time limit of 16 minutes, and often that means doing only one movement or only two out of three movements or something. But with the Webern, we can get it all in.
Well, let's give a listen to a performance of the part of the opening movement of Carl Maria von Weber's Bassoon Concerto. It'll be played by Christopher Raymond on the Young Artists Concert by the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. My guest is the conductor of the orchestra, Michael Luxner, here on Live and Local. That's a portion of the opening movement of the Bassoon Concerto by Carl Maria von Weber, in a performance by bassoonist Klaus Thunemann with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, conducted by Sir Neville Mariner. That piece will be played by Christopher Raymond, one of the three winners of the annual Young Artists Concerto competition, and it'll be played on their Young Artists Concert by the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra Saturday night in Decatur, with music director Michael Luxner, who is my guest on the show today on Live and Local. And Weber's written a lot of works for solo instrument and orchestra.
So. He had friends who were soloists, probably most famously the clarinetist, for whom he wrote the concertino and the two concertos. But like those two concertos, it has operatic elements that I think are just really fascinating. It seems like all the Weber concertos have something that seem right from the stage, like a recitative passage, or I don't know, something Cabaletta-like, shift in one of the movements. And this one has a wonderfully spooky passage too, from in the slow movement, which is an adagio, in which when the soloist, the bassoon, plays with only the two horns in the orchestra, who are playing natural horns, horn fifth figures, and the bassoonist is sort of working around them. It's as though it were something from the Wolf Glen scene, from Freischutz or something like that. Very, very theatrical, very interesting. And then the last movement is just a wonderfully delightful rondo that seems to start right in the middle of a phrase.
And wonderful piece. That. And then the piece that is certainly going to be the best known among the solo pieces, but probably also on the whole concert to most listeners, I imagine, is the Piano Concerto of Edvard Grieg.
Sure.
And you're playing the most famous movement.
Yep.
Which is the opening one with Jared Rickstein. You mentioned him a bit earlier. Mm-hmm. You said he's the freshman, right?
Yeah, he's in his first year.
And I actually forgot where I was going with that.
But you can edit, right?
I can edit.
You're not even as old as I am.
I'm not even. I'm going to make a note here. Just edit me. Edit me.
I have little bios of these guys if you want anymore.
I'm actually looking. You sent them.
Oh, yeah, they're in there, yeah.
I'm actually looking at them.
You could use that.
What was it that stood out about Jared? Because there's so many people that play the piano. And there's typically a great many piano majors at your average school of music. And for this guy to be a freshman and already winning a competition, in your estimation, what stood out about him?
It's hard to say because, I don't vote myself. I don't know. He has a very strong sense of concentration and the detail. He has a very mature musical mind and an excellent ear. And in fact, I know this anyway, because although he's a freshman, he placed out of the first year of his core music classes and is studying sophomore, chromatic harmony and form and 20th century music in theory classes with me. And so I can see that he is he has a lot of background, a lot of reading ability, excellent hearing ability, and he seems to have a gift already that synthesizes all aspects of musical materials and structure, and he really, really put the piece over.
And he's a clarinetist too.
Yes, yep. And something like that often makes a big difference. Pianists may take a little longer to learn something about the cantabile line than if you don't also play something like clarinet or violin, where you really have to, keep breathing. On piano, you have to sort of create the illusion of a continuous musical line because the sound is technically decaying as soon as it's struck. And perhaps the fact that he also plays a wind instrument and has helped, made him a little bit more prodigious in that area. One never knows. But I remember one of the last pianists to win before this was a young lady who also played violin. So who knows?
So let's assume that he's got a particular bent in the lyrical expression on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a here's the famous opening of Edvard Grieg's Piano Concerto. It'll be played by Jared Rickstein Saturday with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra. That's pianist Philippe Entremont with the Philadelphia Orchestra, conducted by Eugene Ormandy, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, in the iconic opening of the Piano Concerto in A Minor by Edvard Grieg, which the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra will present on its Young Artists Concert and feature pianist Jared Rickstein, a freshman at Millikan, who was one of the three winners who are participating in this concert. Christopher Raymond, the bassoonist, and coming up we'll be mentioning Megan Durr, the soprano, my guest.
I have to tell you, Kevin, yeah. Hearing that just reminded me of one of my most embarrassing musical memories.
Oh, yeah. This ought to be good.
We know each other well enough that I can tell you this. But when I was a little kid, I mean a really little kid, like maybe 9 or 10, and I don't even know if I had started playing trumpet myself or knew anything about music, but I had a friend whose older brother took piano lessons, and I remember visiting my friend, and the older brother was there playing something, and I was standing there watching his fingers flying around and playing this dramatic, you know, stuff, and I said, "What's that?" And he said, what I thought he said was, "Oh, that's the Grieg concerto." And I said, "Oh, wow, cool." And then I don't know how long I remembered that, but on and off, as I grew up and got into music and went to college and went to graduate school and became a professional, occasionally I would think about that guy who I had heard all those years before, and I'm saying, you know, I wonder what that piece was. What Grieg composer wrote that music? I don't know any Grieg concertos. Until in one blinding flash of humiliating insight, I realized, oh my God, of course it was the Grieg concerto. So I can't hear it without thinking of that. But, you know, it's also kind of fun because, as I may have mentioned to you on a previous broadcast, one thing that's special about this whole season of ours is that how fresh the repertoire is for this season that we're doing. I pointed out that there is not a single 19th century war horse programmed this season. Everything on our season schedule is either from the 20th or 21st centuries, with the exception of two 18th century pieces chosen by the choral department. And so, of course, what turns up for the Young Artists concert? Perhaps the most famous war horse from the 19th century. So it was a little poetic justice in that.
There you go. Well, certainly not a war horse of any kind are the pieces that Megan Durr will sing by Joaquin Rodrigo. Four love madrigals, amorous madrigals, or something like that.
Yeah, just beautiful music. Oh, and she does such a beautiful job with them. She says that Rodrigo is her favorite composer. Now, how many vocalists will tell you that? You know, it's not Schubert or it's not Verdi or something like that. But she's singing them in the original Spanish and just does a beautiful job with it. It's a lovely piece. It's really more like chamber music than orchestra music. The wind section for this is, you know, very small, you know, two flutes, two oboes, one clarinet, one horn, one trumpet. There's a triangle that plays one note, the last note of the piece, and that's it. And then a very small string section. And it's not only a small orchestra, it's really treated like chamber music with, you know, solo lines and the winds intertwined with the vocal line. And the poetry is just very, very interesting. It's by a poet named Juan Vasquez, who is from the 16th century, and I don't know anything about this poet. But the poetry is sort of half mystical. I mean, it's not an ordinary lyric kind of love song. Two of them are sad, and two of them are happy, and they explore facets of love, aspects of love, in the manner of a real song cycle that doesn't really, you know, have a continuous narrative or tell a story, but just looks at an idea. In this case, the idea of love. From different angles, and it's just lovely music. A short piece, just a little over 8 minutes altogether. But again, this is a perfect example of the kind of music that I didn't even know about, let alone think of programming. until it turns up as a result of our competition.
Do you have a favorite of among the four songs?
No, they go together really well. I mean, it's hard to imagine any one of them alone. The first two are slow. The third is kind of a scherzo, and the longest is the last, which is, you know, the closest thing to a traditional kind of lyric that sort of celebrates a pretty girlfriend kind of thing. And the strings are used in that with figures that simulate a guitar-like effect, as though it were a troubadour singing a love song, in the same way that DeFeo or someone like that treats the string section of an orchestra like a giant guitar. So, you know, colorful, rhythmic, but really the slow ones are just haunting.
Well, you've piqued my interest. Let's give a listen to maybe the second one.
Sure.
Vos me matastes. Uh-huh. Do you know what that means?
It means you killed me.
Oh, nice.
not what you think. No, I'm serious.
With your love or something like that?
Well, the translation I have, and the translation I have is from Suzanne Rhodes Dreher, who is the Rodrigo scholar among vocalists. She's written books about his vocal music. Her translation is, "You killed me, girl with your hair, you have killed me. At the river's edge, I saw a virgin, girl with the hair, you have killed me." Now, I don't know if that means that you don't know if it's a boy or girl singing. You don't know if it's a boy talking about a virgin or who he saw at the river's edge, or if it's a girl who is looking in the river, you see, we're seeing a reflection. You can interpret it almost any way you want, but it has that sort of incantatory, repetitive, mystical quality to it that you would expect from almost a medieval kind of lyric, and very, very haunting.
Let's give our listeners a chance to interpret it how they like. From the Cuatro Madrigales Amatorios by Joaquin Rodrigo, here is the second of those. It'll be sung by Megan Durr on the Millikan Decatur Symphony's Young Artists Concert on Saturday night. That was soprano Victoria de Los Angeles, along with the, which recording, which orchestra is this one? There's two on this recording. The Orchestra of the Concert Society of the Conservatory from, I'm not sure where, Rafael Frubeck de Burgos was conducting. It's the second of four madrigals by Spanish composer Joaquin Rodrigo, Vos me matastes, which means you have killed me, and as explained a bit earlier by Michael Luxner. And all four of these madrigals will be performed by soprano Megan Durr on the annual Young Artists Concert by the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra, conducted by my guest on Live and Local today, Michael Luxner himself. The program opens with an orchestral work by Brahms, and it closes by a piece that I have certainly not heard of, and I'm not even sure I've heard of the composer, Lee Actor, his Dance Rhapsody. Michael Luxner, who's the conductor of the orchestra, why don't you give us an idea of how'd you find this? What's it about?
Well, I had not heard of Lee myself. I was at a Conductors Guild national meeting, I guess just about a year ago, I would say, January last year. And one of the things that goes on at meetings of the Conductors Guild are these sort of, you know, new music sharing symposia, at which any member of the Conductors Guild who can propose to present a work, the deal is that it has to be a work that he or she has himself or herself, you know, performed and conducted, which one thinks other conductors should know about and don't already. There's no other rule. The work itself can be of any genre. It can be anything from, you know, a chamber piece to an oratorio. It can be of any length. It can be suitable for any type of programming. I was at a meeting, and I've presented myself at a couple of these meetings, and this was one thing that was presented. It's a 16-minute single movement composition for full orchestra, and it's all based on dance rhythms. It includes a waltz and ends with a fandango. It includes two tangos and a couple of interludes. When I program for a season, I never know what to do about this particular concert because most of the programming comes from the competition, and I have no idea what it's going to be. But I like to have at least one piece chosen in advance. So first of all, there's, you know, I can balance it with other things I'm planning for the season for the audience. And it's usually, you know, it can't be too long. You know, I mean, if I plan a Brahms symphony, I mean, I may get, you know, stuck with four long and difficult concertos and not be able to do justice to a Brahms symphony. And yet it has to be substantial enough that it's worth saying we're going to do it. And here I have a season that is, as I've said, devoted to fresh programming, a lot of things that are new. There are 7 21st century works. And here's one that is just the right length. It's about 16 minutes. The work I usually, in recent years, have wound up putting on this program, in addition to the concertos and arias, has been a ballet suite. We've done the Bartok Miraculous Mandarin and on this concert. We've done the Firebird. Last year we did American in Paris. But you see, just something meaty, but not, you know, too much. Something that wouldn't necessarily take over the program, and that would be a good close. And this just really fit the bill. It's an engaging piece. It's fun to play. Lee Actor is a fairly young West Coast composer. He's a kind of one of these new entrepreneur types who publishes the music himself and sells it himself and promotes it himself. It did win second prize in a fairly major competition for 2010. And a national competition, and it's just going to be a great crowd pleaser. Lots of engaging things, some slow dramatic things. Uses the orchestra very, very well. Has fun parts to play. Our orchestra is enjoying it very much, and that's where it comes from. Dance Rhapsody by Lee Actor from 2010. Probably we're within one of the first dozen or so performances of the work.
One movement, 7 sections.
Yep.
Let's hear the beginning of it. Do you you know who's performing this by any chance?
Nope, not. But probably by the time you finish playing it, I can figure that out from his website.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure I can. It's and he's conducting it. Let me look that up while you're playing it.
Okay. The Dance Rhapsody by Lee Actor. It'll close Saturday's concert by the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra. We heard the first few minutes and the last few minutes of a 16-minute work by Lee Actor from 2010 called his Dance Rhapsody. And it will be on the concert. In fact, it will close the concert by the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra Saturday night at 7:30 at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on Millikan's campus in Decatur. And that's their annual Young Artists Concert, which we've been pleased to hear about from music director and conductor Michael Luxner, who was, in fact, unable to determine definitively which recording Mr. Actor had sent to him. There's a good chance it was the Slovak National Radio, the Slovak National Symphony Orchestra conducted by Kirk Trevor. There's also some chance it was a performance conducted by the composer. In any event, some credit has been given, and hopefully it's accurate. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the show. I've got some local recordings to finish things out, or at least recordings by local artists. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. Classical guitarist Philip Hemo was on our show playing live back in November in advance of his performance for the Springfield Classical Guitar Society. He is now residing in Springfield, although he came from Arizona. And he has a recording that came out last year called The 20th Century Guitar. It's got music by Rodrigo, whose music we heard earlier, and also Leo Brower, Isaac Albéniz, and Heitor Villa-Lobos, and also one Ross Edwards, his Black Wattle Caprices. There are two of them, and here they're played by Philip Hemo on FM 90.9. Actually, you know, I said Hemo. I believe he says Hemo. I remember I was surprised by that. It's spelled H-E-M-M-O, but he says Hemo, Philip Hemo. Thank you. Those were the two Black Wattle Caprices by Australian composer Ross Edwards. He was born in 1943 and named after Blackwattle Bay, where he says he lives near there. And it was played here by guitarist Philip Hemo, who now lives in our area in Springfield and was on our show playing live last November. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for enjoying the music. I certainly hope that you have. And on tomorrow's program, I'll be talking with a couple of folks involved in a fairly recently constituted local choir that'll be has a performance coming up shortly. And the rest of that program is still in flux. Here's, actually, maybe we'll go out with this. I'm going to have some music by Chopin in just a moment. But let me tell you some of the other events besides the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra that are going on in our listening area over the next few days. Tonight at 7:30 on the University of Illinois campus, in the Music Building Auditorium, to be specific, in Urbana, a guest artist recital, in fact, she just played last week elsewhere in our area, by Jerry May Astolfi, who plays piano and does electronics on her programs as well, 7:30 tonight. The Ark of Rudsky Funk Collective are playing at the Iron Post in Urbana, downtown, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. At Clark Bar in Champaign, also at 7 tomorrow night, Jack Johnston, Emily Otness, and Matthew Croissant, people who participate in the CU Champaign-Urbana Singer-Songwriter Collective. Wednesday night, it's Jam and Jimmy Bean and Friends, an acoustic experience. Seems to be a weekly gig at Bentley's Pub in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. It's also the traditional Irish music session tomorrow evening in downtown Champaign at Dublin O'Neill's. That's at 8:30. And Kenna Mae Rice, a wonderful young singer-songwriter, is going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. For anybody who was looking forward to University of Illinois faculty violinist Stefan Milenkovic's recital at the Krannert Center Thursday night. I saw a notice last week sometime that that has been canceled. So don't try to go hear Stefan Thursday night. It's the Courtney Cutchins Quintet, hoping I'm reading that correctly, playing jazz at Bouvon's in Urbana Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Community Players Theater in Bloomington continues to present Lend Me a Tenor performances Thursday through Saturday at 7:30. And Sunday afternoon at 2:30. And Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater presenting a show called Beer for Breakfast. They're in Goodfield, Illinois. Thursday through Saturday, dinner time, 6 o'clock show opening. I think you can get your meal then. And then Sunday for brunch, and that opens at noon. Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And you're listening to 90.9. Sorry, I'm missing my information here. Make sure I read the right thing here. Listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. University of Illinois faculty pianist Ian Hobson has embarked on recording all of the piano works by Frédéric Chopin, including all the really obscure ones that you probably have never heard before. These, however, not among the obscure. These are two. We'll get in one of the four mazurkas, Opus 17. Here's the first one, Ian Hobson on Live and Local.